Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts. The foremost authority on 9/11, the best-selling author of Methodical Illusion, and a researcher extraordinaire, Rebecca Roth is about to step up to the microphone and launch into Reality Check, where the light will shine brightly upon the truth.
Live from the beautiful city of Hermosillo in the great state of Sonora, Mexico, it's the Rebecca Roth Show. I'm Ramjet, your host, and with me is the incomparable, the one, the only, Rebecca Roth.
Hey, thanks, Ramjet. It's always a pleasure to hook up with you one way or the other, wherever we may be. Now that you're an official conspiracy, too, just like me, you're a fraud. I know you are. That's the complaint that we get from weirdos. You're a fraud. Oh, really? Is that right? Well, we eat and we do everything else that you guys do. We're just humans just like you. We just happen to hook up and put this show together and are going around the world waking people up one at a time. So, hey, last week we talked about, predictive programming. And, you know, how we talked about after 9/11, we all had that hindsight's 2020, and every year that goes by, we see clearer and more clearer what we saw when Building 7 was demolished and it came down in its own footprint. We saw that was a demolition, and there is no other way you can slice it. But that day, those of us that did see it, that were still glued to the television, a lot of people don't even know that Building 7 fell down. So what we have are these incredible Al-Qaeda. And that's because that's what they claimed all of these guys were, the 19. They were some kind of associated with Al-Qaeda. And, of course, they had to be friends with Saddam Hussein because that's where we really wanted to go to mess with that country and take him out. But we used to be his friend. He used to be our friend, actually. We actually gave Saddam Hussein all the makings for chemical warfare. So one of the things we're going to talk about today is we were talking about how you can predictively program or be predictively programmed to think something. And what we're seeing now in the headlines, and this is what I want you to start looking at because we're due for another 9/11 type event. And it will also be put on by the same people. We talked about last week, if you haven't heard the show from last week, we talked about how James Clapper, just around the 23rd, 24th of April, 2016, came out and told us that probably ISIS or Al-Qaeda, well, Obama said we annihilated Al-Qaeda, they were no more a worry, but they're back, and that they quite possibly are going to strike inside the United States before the election. Because they don't want Donald Trump to win. I don't know. What difference does it make to them? I mean, they're not getting a free ride here with the current elitists in the White House.
Well,
so,
you know, they are
difference?
Pretty getting pretty close to a free ride compared to what Trump says he's going to do to
them.
Well,
there you go. That's very true. So, you know, what we want to do is kind of help you look at the headlines. So, let's see. I'm trying to figure out which computer I was pulling up. I just found some great headlines just to give you an idea what to look for. Now, I do this all the time because I know that those people who planned 9/11, who orchestrated, methodically planned it out, who pulled it off, who arranged for the media to show us and tell us what happened by whom, are the same people that are telling us now that ISIS or Al-Qaeda or whatever boogeyman, those are just happens to be the boogeyman they're telling us about. Because we're supposed to collectively forget that Obama told us he annihilated Al-Qaeda. They're no more a problem. We don't have to worry about those. That's because we cooked up ISIS. And so we were talking about how ISIS, and well, even though they're only barely a four-hour drive to Israel, won't go and kill any Jewish people. So you got to think about that. I don't know why, but I think we can all figure
it out.
They're
the JV team.
There you go, the JV team. So I'm just going to read you a couple headlines, and then we're going to go right into how you can prepare, this kind of a preparedness show, how you can prepare for some of this. But here's a little bit more predictive programming for you.
So this show is like prepping with Roth?
Yes. Getting it together. Okay, so here's one. And this is from, this is from the Daily Express out of the UK. Now, you'll often find these things are, these headlines come from RT or from some of the Telegraph or the Guardian and different things. And you may not even see this headline, but you'll see something similar to it in the United States. ISIS plotting terror attacks in America, all capital letters, this year. After jihadis exploit the refugee crisis. There's your setup. Now, I remember hearing about a woman who is actually an assemblywoman in Nevada. Her idea of fixing the Syrian refugee problem was to shoot them all. I mean, seriously, she is actually, she needs to go. Bye-bye. I mean, really, this is not how you fix this. But it does bring up what is going on in Europe and why our southern border is wide open and this influx of people that are not Americans and they're not people that are willing to come in legally. These are people that are breaking the law, step one, over that border when they come in. And so they're illegal.
Well, and I think more importantly, they're not coming in wanting to be Americans.
Right.
Whereas as you look at the big influx of Europeans and other people from around the world, really, in the early part of the 1900s, you know, those people came here wanting to be Americans. They were more than willing to do whatever it took to become, U.S. citizens, including speak the language and assimilate and whatnot. And you find that a lot of the influx of immigrants that come in today, they want to be whoever they want to be, bringing their own culture and keeping it. Which in and of itself isn't bad, but they don't want to integrate with Americans. They want Americans to integrate with them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is just
crazy. The Mexicans want us to give them back the southern part of the United States because they, you know, feel that we stole it. So that they're bringing in that kind of hatred toward our country. They're not coming in as people that want to come in legally and go through the hoops, literally, to become a citizen. And so they kick off on a bad start, step one, over the border illegally. But go ahead.
That's why I'm in Adam Osillo
today. Yeah, you picking him up? Okay, you're recruiting, I see. Okay, you're ISIS recruiter now, huh? Okay, kind of touch on this because this article was from February 9th of 2016. ISIS plotting terror attacks in America, all capital letters, this year after jihadis exploit the refugee crisis. Why do we have Syrian refugees? Because we're bombing their country because we want to get rid of their leader, Assad. That's why. We have bombed their apartment complexes, their cities, their villages, their homes, their schools, and their hospitals. That's what we've done. Yes, America, we have done that to Syria. And so why do we have all these people that are now in a refugee status? Well, because we've bombed them out of their home and their school and their workplace and their livelihood. What a nice thing to do, huh? So all of a sudden now, we've got actually people that are hating the Syrians because we've bombed them out of their existence. And so where they have to go somewhere, they're going to Europe, obviously, because there's not this huge ocean between us and them. And let me just say this, having traveled the Middle East, it's a real long way from America. So if you're in Jordan or you're in Syria or you're in Iran or Iraq or one of the countries in the Middle East, you realize, and any of those of you who have gone there can probably reconfirm this, you are a long ways away from America. So you can't just be a refugee with nothing, but maybe a satchel of clothing, maybe, traveling around, walking on foot, getting on ferry boats, trying to get to the mainland to get away from the American bombers that are destroying their country. You cannot, and then just walk across the ocean magically because you can't get there from here. It's a very tough trip. Whether you're a passenger, and I've done it as a passenger and as an airline flight attendant. So it's a long, long trip, and you have to go through Europe and through security, and it's just ridiculous to think that they're just going to walk over here. In order to become a refugee and get into the United States, you need a lot of help from the United States government. And so when we bring these refugees in, but you'll see headlines where hundreds of thousands, somebody told me there were like 50 million refugees coming here. I'm like, come on, wait a minute. We have 330 million people in this country right now. We still have lots of space, but there's no way you're going to bring in 50 million or 80 million or 100 million people into here. That's ridiculous. So don't read every blog or every YouTube. A lot of stuff is out there is pure crap. So do your homework and really look into stuff when you see these nonsensical things, because you're being manipulated by even the alternative media by headlines to get you to hate this group of people. We have this assemblywoman in Nevada that thinks that her cure for the Syrians, keep in mind that Steve Jobs of Apple Computer was a Syrian. He was, I believe he was adopted. And so she hates Syrians so bad that she, and it happens to be a gun nut, she wants to shoot them all. Seriously, and she is holding a position in the Nevada State Assembly. Now think about that. I don't think that's the welcome mat we want to put out. After all, we have destroyed their country. Now, this is the case with a lot of countries. We can say these are the places they want to go get. So this is kind of interesting, this article, because it says here that the Congress was told of the United States threat by ISIS to infiltrate into the migrant population. And this is all after the Paris attacks. So what is that telling you? You need to hate every one of these Syrians, like the assemblywoman in Nevada. That's stupid. That's just insane. You're being manipulated. Do not allow these hate-filled people that run the media, alternative media included, some of them, to hate a group of people that need help. That's just insanity. But we're getting to the headlines and what we're talking about now. Here's another headline of predictive programming that they will attack in America this year. So I'm reading some more of these headlines, and I'm hearing another one. This is not one of my favorite. This is a headline that's, you know, an accumulation of all kinds of information call it Hornet Daily, but it's WorldNet Daily, I believe. The report, Muslim terrorists sneak into the U.S. with the help of the Mexican drug cartels. There's your headline. Predictive program, where are they coming from? The southern border. What are we leaving wide open? The southern border. What does Trump want to do? Build a wall against the southern border and shut the gate so we can check these people.
So why would they need to sneak if the border's wide open?
Well, there you go. There we go. Use your common sense when you start to think, am I being manipulated here? Why would they need to sneak? You can walk right across our borders.
What would Betty Davis think about that?
Well, I know what Betty would think about that. But here, I'll tell you what Betty would think about it.
Fasten your seatbelt. It's going to be a bumpy night.
That's what Betty would think about it. You got to love Betty Davis. And it is going to be a bumpy night. But one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about all of this manipulative news in brainwashing and setting up the predictive programming, because you can just look at anything. I mean, you can pull up the Drudge Report. It's basically all headlines or something that Drudge himself or one of his people have created as a headline. And so you'll see ISIS is coming over the border. But they don't need to sneak. They can walk across the border because we don't have a border patrol. And that's why, people that actually work in that job as border patrol are all supporting Trump because they want to shut the border down. Why? It's not that we don't want immigrants because we all come from immigrants, essentially. I mean, I'm third generation? Huh? My grandparents came from Europe. So, most of us don't go that far back. So, we are immigrants, but we came in legally. Our grandparents, our parents came in legally, and that's what Trump wants to do, and that's what we should do. And we have an administration right now that doesn't want to do that, but look at the headlines. There's two headlines I just read.
So is it really true that the Border Patrol is being acquired by Welcome Wagon?
I think they are the Welcome Wagon now. So what's happening is the Border Patrol literally get punished for doing their job, which is protecting our border, by the administration, and this is up there. Who is the, is it the Department of Justice or is it Immigration? I'd say the hierarchy from Border Patrol.
Well, all of it now is under
Homeland Security.
Yeah,
that's right. So anyway, here we go. So Muslim terrorists as opposed to Jewish or Catholic or anything else. This is the headline. Muslim terrorists sneak. They don't need to, but they're sneaking. They're sneaky. Into the United States with the help of the drug cartel. Okay, so I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, well, this is really weird. It's read in a blog that it's called the Latin Post. And here's the headline they have. ISIS threatens Mexico in their newest video and lists Mexico as an enemy nation. So which is it? Because it's not any easier to get to Mexico from Syria or Iraq or Afghanistan. Those are the three countries ISIS is now in control of. Than it is, I mean, to go to Mars, practically. I mean, it's not an easy trip to take. You have to fly or get on a very, very long cargo ship trip. And you're just not going to pack up all your weapons and all that stuff. So we know who has control of the weapons. We have seen all of this before. So,
well, you know, I was looking on Drudge last week, and I saw a headline that said, ISIS hackers released the names of 3,600 ordinary New Yorkers that they want to, you know, take out.
Oh, ordinary?
Yeah, just ordinary.
Ordinary, you know, New Yorkers. There is no ordinary New Yorker.
It's their hit list. But, what they've done basically is they've got names of people. And so, you know, whether they're going to take these people out or not, they can just go in there and put the name up. Then you're going to be frightened too.
Ask you this. Do you think the meaning of that headline is the target might be New York?
Possibly.
Because that's who they're trying to freak out right now, the New Yorkers, the ordinary New Yorker.
But, yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's freak them out, whether they have an intention to hit New York again or not. The point is we want to get people worried.
Well.
And scared.
Yeah, it's all promoting fear. And remember this, and we kind of learned this, is that hindsight 2020 thing. On the day of 9/11, just bring yourself back to wherever you were, whether you were at work or whether you were at an airport trying to leave or you're at home watching a television. It was so horrific for all of us as Americans to see people jump to their death from those towers. We were so horrified and we were so afraid. We didn't know who. The only person that wasn't afraid was George W. Bush sitting in that classroom. And his Secret Service, because they knew there was no danger. But for us, that we didn't know, we weren't a part of the plan. We were scared to death. I remember sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, I got to go get some cash out of the bank and get some milk and get these certain things that I wanted to start this war and have, because that's what, you know, I felt. We were at war, and I think most of us did feel that way. We were scared. We were frightened, and we were supposed to be. And that's why they kept showing that supposed 767 going through the South Tower like a hot knife through butter over and over and over again. We were being brainwashed. We are still being brainwashed by the media that's controlled by the Central Intelligence Agency. But we're smarter than they are. So we figured them out. So one of the things that I want you to just start paying attention to are these kind of headlines. And follow up. Do a little research. And see, you know, I mean, what was Obama talking about when he said we'd annihilated Al-Qaeda? And that was several years ago. And a matter of fact, wasn't it around the time they supposedly killed Osama bin Laden after he'd been dead for 10 years? And then he said that we had annihilated Al-Qaeda. But you can see what James Clapper, who's the head of intelligence in all of the nation, he's the smartest intelligent agent. And this guy is absolutely telling you that there will be a terror attack in the United States, and you're going to see all these headlines. Just look for them. Just Google search ISIS in America. You'll find all kinds of them. So you've got your alternative people who are pushing fear because they want to sell you food storage or silver or gold or something, because they all do. Click, 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 click. They, you know, pay per click. So you've got your fear mongers, these other people that are planning this, basically. You just read the headlines, you can see it's very clearly planned out. We didn't see it. I'm going to tell you this, that prior to 9/11, we in the airline were never told about Osama bin Laden being the boogeyman or Al-Qaeda being some threat of especially terrorism in an aircraft, period. We were always in our hijack segment of our yearly training, we covered people like Ramzi Youssef and their people like that were supposedly a hijack threat. But what we saw in 9/11, I mean, that's one reason it flipped my head. I was like, who is this person? And when I found out these were terrorists and they managed to get all of these weapons through three major airports, undetected bombs. They had at least two of the flights, if not three of them, reported by passengers and crew members, had bombs, knives, pepper spray, mace, all of these things, and guns. All of these things were not legal to bring on board. So they went three major airports, allowed all of those weapons to get on all of those four flights, supposedly. So somebody wasn't doing their work. And
well, when it's make-believe, you can bring anything on board.
That's true. Well, that's very true. And when it is make-believe, you can have people that don't know how to fly a Cessna be able to fly a 757 beyond its capability and fly it as if it's an F-22 fighter jet. So, and that's basically what they did. So what I want to talk about today is how can you be prepared for this attack? And remember in my first book, Methodical Illusion, there is a scenario. I had to choose the cities because when I read about this in the Ynet news and it was scrubbed shortly afterwards, thankfully I read it to my husband so I wouldn't be looking like a lunatic, because this was probably scrubbed and well scrubbed off the internet within probably 6 to 8 hours. So I had a new iPad, and you can watch the video called Could This Be the Next False Flag? And it gives you all the details. For the novels, I made up the cities that I thought might be chosen, but that's just my guess. So, but anyway, five or six major United States cities would be under attack using biological, chemical, and or nuclear weapons over a 9-day period. If that happens, as James Clapper claims, front of November, we have May, June, July, August, September, and 9/11, another big anniversary. We have a 15-year anniversary. And by the way, most Muslims don't celebrate these anniversary things like we do, but they like you to believe it. That's why they pulled Benghazi off on an anniversary. So we have the September 11th and October, and then the first week of November, we have the election. So it pretty much lays it out sometime this summer from May until October, that we are very vulnerable, and we have people like James Clapper telling us, and we have all these headlines telling us, and we have a country that is refusing to close the southern border. Why? Because they need an excuse how they got in here. They are telling you that they're part of this refugee crowd of people that are coming in. Well, so why don't we listen to Donald Trump, who says, well, let's check their papers. Let's have a little interview with them. Let's see what kind of people are they. That's all he's asking to do. But no, we don't want to do that. We want to have an excuse why we have all these terrorists here, because it's planned. This is a planned attack. So you can be ready for it. So we're going to just kind of cover how you can be prepared for this. What I've done, and each place that I go that I have to stay, each of my homes, I've prepared myself for what's called an EMP, an electromagnetic pulse. Because if this happens, and this can happen anytime there's a nuclear bomb that goes off, an electromagnetic pulse can happen. And so that kind of fries everything with a starter, a switch. So there's a few things that you can do to prepare for this, because you will not have any electricity and your car probably won't start. So the easiest way to prep yourself for this is this coming weekend or tomorrow, turn all the electricity off at your switchboard there in your circuit board breakers, and live in your house for a day with no electricity, and see, and get a tablet, and you'll need a candle or a flashlight, because when it gets dark, you're going to see what you can't see, okay? Are you ready? If you have long hair and you have to blow your hair dry, you better have some rubber bands, right? So if you've got babies that need to be fed and you're not breastfeeding, you want to make sure you have something to feed them, right? Some way to warm their food if it has to be warmed and that sort of thing. If they have formula and your pumps don't work into your water supply, do you have water? Just look and see what you need and how much you depend on. And guess what? You won't be able to be on Facebook. How much you depend on electricity. Finish your list and say, oh my goodness, I don't have rubber bands for my long hair. I don't have baby food. I don't have a way to heat my food. I don't have any food. And you'll see what you don't have. And that's a great way to quickly figure out what you need to put in your home to survive EMP type of attack.
Well, it is a great way. The problem is it takes guts to do it. And, you know, you at least have a forewarning that you know you're going to turn the power off so you can make sure that your freezer, you know, doesn't have food in it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can keep the freezer going just to, so you don't, you know, ruin your food. But the point is if you actually have the guts to do that, you will be able to make a list that you cannot be compared to anything else you could possibly do, because you'll know exactly what you need.
We
as
are
opposed
so,
to
yeah.
being told what you need.
Right. And we're so, and also this is very personal. If you don't have any hair, you don't need rubber bands, right? If you don't have babies, you don't need baby food. It's so personal for yourself and how you live. If you do this for a weekend, it will blow you away how much you depend on electricity for everything in your home. And so if you're going to say to yourself, oh, self, I just don't have enough money to get all this stuff put together, let me just give you a few words of advice. Everything with a switch, an on switch, electrical stuff, even flashlights and stuff, will burn out if it's an EMP and you're close enough to it. So one great way to save some of your stuff, for example, is a Faraday cage. Well, you don't have to build one and you don't have to buy one because they're kind of expensive and it's kind of complicated. You can just use an old microwave. Unplug it. Do not have it plugged into the wall. Set it on your counter somewhere. Put it under a bed, in a closet, whatever. And inside there, put your flashlights, a small, maybe a computer or some electronic things. I'll tell you what's in mine. I have AAA and AA batteries, a little stack of each, and I have a Sea Crane radio, wind-up radio, that's a weather radio, AM, FM, shortwave, and a flashlight. It's all in one. It's about $50 from Sea Crane, C as in the letter. And let's see, what else is in there? I have a small, one of those little 7-inch computers, just in case we have internet. It won't be blown away. And I try to get in there and do the updates on it, because I think it's a Vista or something. I mean, it's been around for a while. But if you have an older iPad or something, or electronic games for your kids to play or whatever, you know, just put it in there. You can stack quite a bit of stuff in there because you're not going to use it. It's a Faraday cage and will prevent that stuff from frying out. So if you think you can't afford all of this stuff, you can buy 100 tea lights at an IKEA store or Walmart, someplace like that, 100 little tea lights. And all you need to do is wash out your glass jars. Let's say you eat Mexican salsa. It comes in a glass jar. Just take the label off. Run it through your dishwasher, wash the label off, set it aside. If you need a light, a lamp, you can just drop a tea light in there. Thing will be a safe, relatively safe candle light for you. And it gets off even more light if you put a mirror under it or around it and behind it. You set it in there. You can put mirrors around it. You can put it on top of a mirror and it'll reflect a little bit more. But when you spend that weekend without your electricity, you're going to get to see what you don't have. Okay, what you're needing. So make sure you have a notebook with you. And don't think you need a lot of money to prepare, because you don't. You can use stuff that you would normally throw away, like those little glass jars and stuff like that. Also, a wind-up flashlight is available at IKEA, if you have one of those near you, for $5. And it's in the children's section. It's a little red wind-up, kind of looks like a hourglass. And it's a totally wind-up, and it's $5, so you can afford that. I mean, it's handy to have. And you can put that where, you know, if you have a safe room or a food storage area where you can go, you want to have a flashlight or two. I have several of those. I actually have them in every bedroom on each side of the bed. If there's two people sleeping in there, they each get one. Carry over from my flight attendant days, because I was in a couple hotel fires and the FAA made us carry a flashlight. And I've always been grateful for that, because when you have a fire in a hotel, oftentimes the elevators don't work and the stairs to get out of the hotel are dark, like they were when they tried to leave the World Trade Center towers. I remember reading a story shortly after the 9/11 thing that there was a gentleman that had I always used one of these when I flew, a Timex watch that when you push the button, a little blue light lit up the face. And that little blue light on his watch was all the light they had to go down the stairs in the tower. And I remember reading that story thinking, well, you know, they're very comfortable to have this little Timex. They only cost about $12. But that little blue light saved a whole lot of people to get down the stairs. So you'll be amazed how many things that you can pick up. Really cheap dollar store has some little squeeze lights for your keychain. Because if you're in a situation where there is no power, just a little bit of light goes a long way. So,
I just have an anecdote I just want to share. It has nothing to do with being prepared, but you kind of reminded me. Where I went to college, I remember having a class in a basement when the power went out. And so everything was dark. I mean, it was pitch black dark. And we sat there and waited for a few minutes, hoping that it would come back on. And it obviously wasn't going to come back on. And we weren't sure how we were going to get out of the classroom. We happened to have a blind girl in the classroom. And she says, "I'll lead you out."
She was used to it.
We all got behind her, and she let us out.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's what you got.
Yeah. Well, there you go. And so it doesn't take a lot of light, but you do have to have them before it all happens, because you're not going to be able to run to the store. So I tell people, and they're like, "Well, what do you think?" I said, "Do it yesterday. Get ready yesterday." And what you want to do is give yourself, and do without a couple glasses of wine or a case of beer or a pack of cigarettes or chocolates or whatever your thing is. Do without that and get yourself some food and get yourself prepared. Now, you don't have to buy really expensive food storage food or anything like that. You can just go buy things at the grocery store. You want to set aside at least a week family members. That's for ease ability. I'll just talk about doing it for one person, but you can take it and do it for each one of you. If there's four, times this by four. You can go to the grocery store. You don't have to have a lot of long shelf life. You need to have this ready for you in case in the next 6 months something happens, because the headlines keep telling us it's going to. And we need to go to a couple more wars, so they will. I'm not kidding you. So I'm dead serious here. You're being shown in all the headlines and the movies and the television shows and all of this stuff. They've even did a TV series about after an EMP. And so you want to just pay attention. There's a YouTube out using terracotta pots stacked on top of each other as a heater and using four tea lights. And there are several ways you can do this. You can put it on top of a casserole dish. You can put it on top of bricks or something, and you put your four little tea lights and two, one progressively larger or smaller terracotta pots with about an inch or so on each side. One is smaller than the other or larger than the other. And then the inner terracotta pot, you put something over the hole, the drain hole, and they make great heaters. I've made these, and they work really, really good, and you can put those all around. If you've got like granite countertops and stuff like that, you could put one inside your fireplace if you have something like that. But they give off heat and light if you use a clear glass dish for like a casserole dish or a loaf pan or something underneath your terracotta. But there's lots of those in on YouTube, terracotta pot heaters, and that'll probably find you several different recipes for making those. But they're really cheap. You can probably make those for $6 maybe for the pots. And then you've got your tea lights. You use what, four of them, and they usually burn for 4 hours. So you probably want to, if you're in a place where it's going to get real, real cold at night, and if this, let's say this happens in October, where we start to see a lot of states have frost and cold nights, then you probably want to be prepared for that. Not so much maybe in the summer, unless you're somewhere where it gets really cold at night. But it's an easy way to do that. So make this happen in your normal food budget when you go to the store. You can buy cereal if you're a cereal eater, or if you will be a cereal eater. You can buy milk that doesn't need to be refrigerated. And you can buy things that maybe you wouldn't eat in a normal day. Like, I wouldn't normally eat a cup of noodles. But cup of noodles will be a wonderful thing to keep you warm and warm you up inside, to fill you up and give you something instantly that you can heat up as long as you can. What are you going to need? Something to boil your water. So you want to pay attention to that and find yourself an easy way to heat water. Now, my favorite thing is my StandSport, and you can probably find these on Amazon. I don't sell any of this stuff, so I'm just telling you what I use. But these are my favorite things. This is a great wedding gift and a birthday present for someone. It's a StandSport heater, and it's one butane, I believe it is, because the fuel comes in like an old hairspray can. And you just plug it in there, and it boils water super fast. And you can then just put it on your counter, and it comes in like a little briefcase. So you open it up. So it's like an old, to me, if you're old enough to remember the old record players when we had those as little kids, it was like a little suitcase, a little plastic suitcase. And so you can carry it easily. It's not heavy. Your kids can carry this one, too. So you want to get one of those. They run around $20, and the fuel is around $3 for a can. So there you go. You don't need to be really wealthy to do this, but you do need to be prepared, because if you're prepared, you can help other people that aren't. And you can have your feet on the ground. You know, one of the things that happened to us on 9/11 is we were all caught off guard. We had never, since we're Pearl Harbor, and that was way over the ocean, so we really didn't touch us that much. But that false flag over there in Pearl Harbor, that was on our territory. Maybe 5 or 6 major cities, maybe biological, chemical, and nuclear dirty nukes. So we saw just the other day that we have a foreign government that is here in Nevada teaching our first responders how to respond to a dirty nuke attack. Why would they do that? Well, because something unplanned.
You would think with all the nuclear explosions in the 50s and early 60s in Nevada that people in Nevada would know how to deal with
yeah.
that.
Well, and they're actually doing this training down in Mercury where they're setting off all this. The dirt probably glows in the dark down there. So let me just tell you this. If you've never done any preparation, the United States government does have a website, and I think it's just www.ready.gov, and that's going to get you to a site, biologicals, what to do beforehand, what to do during the attack, what to do if you need to shelter in place, you need to be able to seal yourself up kind of good, and you can do that with just some duct tape or some plastic, heavy-duty plastic tape or something, and you can get yourself prepared. Now, of course, that's really only if you're in a major city. If you're out in the country, you don't have to worry about it so much. Sorry, that was my chime. I put papers down on my computer.
Oh, I thought maybe it was Betty trying to talk to you again.
Betty's getting back to us. So anyway, there's some really good information there on biological and chemical attacks. And one of the things that you want to do is you want to listen to what you're being told. And if something's going off and it's better for you to shelter in place, then get your shelter in place sealed up. And so if you're thinking, well, can I do that? Well, do you have a guest room or do you have a room or is there a place in your basement that you can do? Make that food and water in there. And then also you want to have stuff available if they say to you, evacuate. Now, if you're living somewhere where it's floods or there's earthquakes, or there's natural disasters, commonly tornadoes, that sort of thing, you should be aware of this and you should really be prepared for this. But let's just say it's a chemical attack in your nearest city and the wind's blowing in your direction and they say to you, if you're living east of St. Louis, we want you to evacuate your house
easy
now.
Easy, Victor.
Well, that's what the captain would have said. So you want to be ready for that. And let's just say, you know, I tell people, well, let's just say, for some reason, your entire neighborhood caught on fire and you got to go. Have stuff available near your garage or near your external door where you can leave. Have a case of water. Have a case of a quart-size water and throw it in your car. Have a bag. It doesn't even need to be a fancy backpack. But have it with the stuff you need. Guess what you're going to need? You're going to need a toothbrush. You can buy all this travel stuff and stick it right in there. You can even buy real cheap nylon bags, you know, little Adidas bags. It's not something you're going to have to wear for the rest of your life, but you're going to want to have some stuff like that. So now I like to get people that are in earthquake areas prepared, because if you have an earthquake and your structure, I actually lived through one where the structure was condemned right after everyone got out. And it was very scary getting out because the stairs didn't feel like they were connected to the structure. And they kind of, as you were going down, you could feel them swaying. And it was, you thought the whole building was going to collapse. Well, it did get torn down right afterwards. But when you're in an earthquake, for example, you know, maybe you can't get into your whole house or your apartment. Maybe you can just get in that front door. Well, that's probably where you want to have some food and water and, you know, candles, whatever. It's real simple to think about what you're going to need, especially if you have the guts to pull the plug on your electricity. That is truly one of the best ways to go. But you want to be able to listen. And if we have an EMP, we're not going to have internet. We're not going to have the radio. If you look out and you see a mushroom cloud, what are you going to do? You got to just look out the window, pretend you're seeing a mushroom cloud, and if it's a dirty bomb, like we saw 24, again, 24 showed us all this stuff too. Remember how 24 was predictively programming 9/11 or post-programming?
Well, with a dirty bomb, you wouldn't see a mushroom cloud necessarily.
But you would see, well, they did on 24. Was that not true?
That was an actual nuclear explosion.
Oh, okay.
A dirty bomb basically is radioactive material that's strapped to a conventional weapon. So it just explodes, but it explodes dirty nuclear weapon or dirty nuclear particles out.
And not a very big distance either, unless it gets in the wind.
No, but I mean, the thing with dirty bombs is they're scary to people.
Well, yeah.
Because they're nuclear.
Well, yeah. Anytime you hear that, it's going to make your skin crawl and you're going to freak out.
But you're not going to see a mushroom cloud with that.
Yeah.
If you see a mushroom cloud, then chances are you're going to feel a shockwave.
Well, if it's a real big one, that's for sure. But if it's just a small dirty nuke and you look out and you see, some explosion, and maybe at that point we still have internet, we still have a radio, and you hear on your television that you need to shelter in place and what's just happened, or maybe it's a biological or a chemical. Again, ready.gov, you want to go to those sites and read them quickly and help yourself get prepared for this because time is short. If you're told to evacuate, make sure that you have stuff to take with you. Be prepared mentally, emotionally. This is a reality. This is going to happen again. We're going to have a 9/11, they're telling us, in every headline every single day. This is going to happen again because we need to go beat up on some more people in the Middle East. We need to cause, you can't have a civil war without ethnic hate. And so that's part of the reason the southern border is open, because we can then hate white versus Mexican, black versus white, blah, blah, blah. That's just this part of this whole divide and conquer thing that they're so good at. But don't use this as an excuse, I can't afford it, because you can't afford not to. So if you have an extra $15, you can go to a store like a Winco, and there are some big box stores like Costco, Sam's Club, stuff like that. You can buy a bag, a 25-pound bag of oatmeal for about $15, and that's 250 servings, that in half. You got a lot of servings of oatmeal, so you can feed yourself, your family, your neighbor for quite a while, as long as you have a way to cook it and a bowl to eat it out of.
You know, even if you just mix it with water, and you know, it's not great, mm-hmm. and nobody wants to eat oatmeal for a week, but it's a lot better than eating nothing for a week.
Yeah, or dirt, especially if it's radioactive dirt. So there's lots of things that you can buy that you can have on hand for a bug-out bag or a bug-out box. You don't need to buy a fancy backpack. You don't need to spend a ton of money. Put it in a box that you can carry and put in your car. If you need to evacuate, if you're being told, get out, be ready, because you're going to be hungry when you get there, and FEMA isn't going to be necessarily there and ready for you. So we just look back at Katrina and see what happened to those people, and they were all housed in that football stadium, but they didn't have anything. And unless they brought their own stuff, maybe they didn't even have toilet paper. I mean, just think about the stuff you need. And one whole day, and if you can do it the day you unplug your power, it'd be really helpful. You can see, what do you use? Do you use toilet paper? How many times a day do you use that? 3, 4? Well, you better have some with you then, because you can't count on the government having you a toilet paper for you. So same with water. How much water do you drink? Do you drink coffee? If you have instant coffee, which you can buy a box of them for about $1.25, and you can have a week's worth of coffee, and you can have an instant coffee, and you can even mix that with cold water. But you want to have a jar or something you can shake things up in. If you're going to mix milk powder, you mix some water and make some milk for your cereal, that sort of thing, or your oatmeal. You want to just have an empty jar. Use an empty peanut butter jar. It's plastic. Take the label off, clean it out, throw it in your box, and let yourself be prepared. Let's just pretend we have a shelter in place that turns into an immediate evacuation. What are you going to grab? Well, you don't need to go out and buy a fancy 300-pound backpack full of stuff that costs you $500. You have a cardboard box that you bring home from the grocery store, or your boot box or whatever. You have a cardboard box or heavy-duty cardboard plastic bags, and you just put your stuff in there. So if all of a sudden shelter-in-place turns into evacuation, you can easily take what you need for a week. And I would definitely have at least a week's worth, I'm telling you 7 days worth of food, because it's going to take that long for FEMA to get anything brought in to feed on a massive amount of people. If there's 5,000, 10,000, or 20,000 people that had to be evacuated into some sort of shelter, it's going to take the government a while to feed you. So take care of yourself. They're not going to be there for you. Now, one of the things I like to also have, and I have some very lightweight little backpacks, and I just sent one up to a family member that it's an earthquake bag, but I like those rescue blankets. They're a little, they look like aluminum foil kind of, they're in a little box. You can get these at Walmart. They're about a dollar a piece, and you can get three or four of those, and it doesn't take up a four-inch space in your bag, and it doesn't weigh anything. But if you're in a shelter, and guess what? They ran out of blankets. You can wrap yourself up in one of those, stay warm with your own body heat, and that's what they're really good for. So, and another thing that you can get, and go to the camping section, those glow light sticks, you can put those in, you can stick those in a gallon milk jug, you know, one of those plastic gallon milk jugs, and it'll light the whole thing up. So there's lots of things that you can do. But be ready, and it depends on where you live. If you are rural and you know you're going to probably shelter in, well, you can get all of the stuff you need. It doesn't have to be mobile, but you want to have at least, well, I probably have a 2 weeks worth of mobile food. That's just stuff that we can pack up and throw in the car. And I have a closet at one place where I have bought quart, I think they're quart or liter-sized bottles of water at Costco or someplace where you can buy them for $3 or $4 a case. And they're right there by the door. So if it's an evacuate the situation, I can easily throw in several cases of water to the car along with my stuff. And so my most important message to you is to do this last week, because time is short, and the more you are prepared for this, and if you have children, make sure you have something for them to do, and yourself. One of the things I have is decks of cards. I have several decks of cards. And, you know, if there's some kind of little water game or something you can pick up at the dollar store if you have little kids, bubbles, that, you know, something for them to do. If you have little kids that are not going to be able to sit on a blanket in a FEMA camp or in a, I say FEMA camp because that's where they're going to put you, in a shelter, it's FEMA who's going to come in and build the shelter or put the shelters up to bring people in if you've lost your home. That's what happens. We'll be refugees then. So we'll be able to really know what they feel like, because they won't have much. And if you're not prepared, you won't either.
But don't be a refugee in Nevada. You might get shot by an assemblywoman.
Exactly. So it's kind of crazy. Anyway, so you don't really need to buy like a Faraday cage. You can go get a microwave for probably $20 brand new, or a used one.
You go to Goodwill. I'm sure you can get them for less than $10.
Uh-huh.
Goodwill. Pretty good sized ones.
Yeah, a thrift store. Yeah, but you're going to be saving your stuff. So if it's an old Litton from the 1980s, you know, the kind that looked like a television set, more power to you. You've got more storage space. Mine's a little 1 cubic or something, 1.5 cubics. It's relatively small. It could not put a turkey in it. But it's plenty enough for the electronics that I have stored in there. Now, keep in mind that a microwave has to keep the microwaves in, so it's going to keep the pulse of the electromagnetic pulse out. And so it's really just a very cheap way to do that. For food, you don't care about food storage lasting you 30 years. You don't need that. You need something you can eat this next month, or maybe 3 months or 6 months from now. So things that are good to have that you can pick up at Costco or Walmart or something like that, beef jerky. All the nuts are high in protein, so you can pick those up. They don't have a long shelf life, but so you want to transfer them out. Don't want to keep them in heat, but for in your, just in case, you can buy a case of ramen noodles in the cup where you just need to put the hot water in. You can also find those oatmeal and things like that that you can heat up too. They take up a lot of space, but they don't weigh much. So you can throw them in a, you know, hefty bag and toss them in your car if you need to. Or you can just keep them in a box in your safe room or your storage area where you need to go. If you have to shelter in place, I'd highly recommend you find a place that you can turn into a shelter-in-place shelter.
You know, and also if you're evacuating and, you know, you've got children, you know, they can help carry things. But you don't want to have them carrying, you know, cans of Campbell's soup, mm-hmm. or things that are heavy. And that's what's nice about, you know, the ramen noodles and some of the other, you know, really lightweight kinds mm-hmm. of things.
Freeze-dried and that sort
of thing. Yeah, I mean, you can buy cheap freeze-dried stuff mm-hmm. where you're not buying, you know, 6 years' worth of it. Mm-hmm. You're just buying 2 or 3 days' worth of it.
Right.
And your children can help carry that, and if you have to carry it, and maybe you're somewhat infirm to some degree, with as lightweight as that is, you can do it. But water
mm-hmm.
is a problem. So.
But if you buy water by a case, it weighs a lot, but you can get a lot of water in one case of those liters and drop it into your car real quickly. And so you've got quite a bit of water. Boom, boom, 2 cases of water probably do you pretty good. I have a whole closet full of those water things that are cases. I stacked it. It's a coat closet, and I don't put coats in there. It's just got water, and it's right by the garage door, and it's also right by my safe room. So I can get that stuff right away and easily get there. One of the other things you want to be prepared for is prepared for this emotionally and spiritually. So if you have a spiritual book, and I don't care what you use, I'm just telling you, get your spiritual book. Whether you want to have a New Testament, a Bible with the old and new, you like the King Ram Dass, if you like the Buddha, teachings of Buddha, whatever you use for your own spiritual sanity and your comfort, and put it in there, in your room, so in your safe room and with your stuff. If you're going to evacuate, you want to have something there that is not just children's toys for if you have little kids that need to be entertained. And something at the dollar store, throw that in there. For a dollar, you have something that they'll be thrilled with it. If that's all they have to play with, it's probably something they've never seen before. And it can be just plastic army men or little farm animals or something. It's going to be completely something they've never, ever seen before. So you will want to keep them entertained. That costs you a dollar. So also another thing at the dollar store I've noticed, and if you live anywhere near where volcanoes can pop up, which is anywhere near a mountain range, I actually saw Mount St. Helens erupt from 40,000 feet. So I was flying in that direction the day it happened, and it went up to a 60,000-foot level or so into a big mushroom. I thought what we were looking at was a nuclear bomb had gone off, but it was a volcano, and they're full of ash. At the dollar stores, you can find masks that are very helpful for you to have, and you can get, I think there's 4 of them in a box for a dollar, and they don't weigh anything either. So you want to have those in your car or in your car and in your bug-out bag or in your home or all places, and for $3 you can have a dozen of them, one for everyone in your family, so you can breathe through that. They're not surgical, but they will definitely help if there's particles from a volcano going off, because it puts out a lot of ash. So there's lots of things you can do, and there is one thing you cannot do, and that is make an excuse. There are no excuses. We know what they did on 9/11, and we know we're overdue for another one. And they're telling us in almost every headline you're going to start reading, and you're going to go, oh, my goodness, that's why they're keeping the southern border open. They want an excuse for how these ISIS guys got in here. They want an excuse because that's who they're going to blame. And just watch the headlines and see. But while you're doing that, you want to be getting yourself ready. So if you can, pull the electricity tomorrow, if you can, on your house. Get ready if you go to church. See what it's like to do your hair and put your makeup on in your bathroom, in your house, without any power. And
maybe without any light. That should be interesting.
Yeah. Well, that's no power, no light. So if your bathroom's really dark, well, maybe you can find yourself a hand mirror. But this is how you're going to find out, how am I going to live? And it will. And if we do this, James Clapper told us, probably before the election, if they do this, it will probably be multiple cities, probably major cities, multiple. And it'll be horrific. Don't be fooled. Be prepared. And I'm not saying this to make anybody fearful, because when you're prepared, you can't be brainwashed like we were on 9/11. We could see things like an aluminum airplane slide through a building like a hot knife through butter and believed it, because we were so scared. Collectively, because when you're in fear or sexual excitement, there are certain ways that you can be brainwashed easier. Fear is one of them. So don't be afraid. Be prepared. And so I hope that just talking about this, and you are, email me if you have any questions, if you forget what we talked about, Well, I'll be happy to help you out and send you some links.
Well, let me just say, Rebecca knows a lot more about this than she's been able to share with you in an hour. So if you do want to email her with questions or specific issues that may be germane to your family or your certain situation, feel free to do that, because she's more than happy to answer those when she has time, when she's not writing with both hands and editing with both feet. And, you know, shoving her mouth full of whatever it is she's shoving it with.
Not usually, ramen noodles.
Usually chocolate.
Yeah, don't forget the chocolates, and don't forget the comfort food. And if you have kids, or let's say you're setting an earthquake a bag, and you're going to carry it around in your car, Lifesavers, hard candies, there's organic hard candies at the organic store, the health food store, something that will stay and not go bad and not melt like chocolate. But you want to have something like that to keep blood sugar up and make your kids happy, make your neighbor's kids happy, whoever you're there with. And just remember that you're going to need some entertainment. And so if you don't know any card games, go find something online that you can print out how to play certain card games and get a deck of cards.
You know, you mentioned earlier about instant coffee, and it's relatively inexpensive. If you have a lot more of that than you would ordinarily need, you'd be surprised what you could trade for it.
That's a great barter tool. I have a large things of instant coffee in my food storage just for bartering, actually, because if you're a coffee drinker, and you like me, I mean, I love a good latte, and I know how to make them and have a machine, but if it doesn't have electricity, it's not going to work. And I'd be happy to have an instant coffee. Actually, every once in a while, I'll just make myself an instant coffee. But yeah, you'll be amazed what people will do, because if you can't get coffee because they didn't store it or didn't, you know, get prepared, you can maybe get your car fixed for 300 servings of coffee.
Or maybe they'll trade you a wagon so you can move your water.
That,
you know,
too.
For a few things of instant coffee. Who knows?
Well, that's true.
I don't drink coffee, yeah. So I wouldn't know about that.
But here's another thing that you want to keep in mind, because it will be stressful. Whether you use essential oils or whether you have something that triggers you, and that you, let's just say when stress happens, you get heartburn. Well, you better put some Tums or your favorite Rolaids or something in the stress box there in your area, where if you have something, let's say you have a hard time breathing, you want to put something to help you breathe in there. Well, that's how you react to stress. You make sure you have that. So, well, anyway, listen, we're kind of running out of time. So if you, I'll try to put these links when I put it on YouTube into these government things. Ready.gov, you can just Google search, prepare for an EMP, and you'll get lots of things, lots of ideas. Like I say, you don't need lots of money to do this. You can use the stuff you'd normally throw away to use as a lantern or a lamp. All you need to do is do it yesterday. And that's my word for you, is get yourself prepared as much as you can in as many ways as possible, mentally, spiritually, and physically with your food and water. So there you go. That's our preparedness show. And keep your eyes open, read those headlines, and read them carefully, and ask yourself, am I being manipulated by the media? Am I being pushed into fear
again?
Am I being told who the enemy is, who I should hate? Am I ready? Can I help my neighbor? And ask your neighbors, are they ready? Are they prepared at all? Because maybe they're not. Maybe they don't know about any of this. But maybe if they aren't, maybe you should be prepared a little bit for them.
So we're about out of time. From the thriving metropolis of Hermosillo, I wish all my friends adios, mi amigos.
Well, I hope you joined us, and we hope you've learned a little something, and get yourself busy tomorrow by pulling the plug on your power.